you know, this is, as a technology capability for the pharmaceutical industry, moved very substantially from an investment in a strategic bright light 4 or 5 years ago to now an investment that needs to be considered at scale.
Welcome to AI for Pharma Growth, the podcast from pioneering pharma artificial intelligence entrepreneur, Dr. Andre Bates. This show aims to demystify AI for all those in biopharma, from startup biotech right through to big pharma. Each episode focuses on all things AI and future tech related to help pharma execs to navigate through the and benefit from the sometimes confusing but magical world of AI-powered tools to grow and get real-world results.
Today's episode is how to make good decisions when introducing next best action in pharma. We're going to be doing 3 episodes on this topic, focusing on slightly different components of this. So this first episode on the topic will be the data conundrum. Many, if not all, pharma are introducing artificial intelligence-powered next best action to drive proactive business intelligence into commercial execution. Next best action, also called context marketing, identifies the needs of individual physicians at specific moments of engagements to assist in the organization of creating the right personalized content in the right channels at the right time for every individual physician in a meaningful way in real time. In doing so, it creates strong customer experience alongside essential support for both sales and marketing professionals while simultaneously providing stronger business results. In this podcast, we're going to be discussing some of the challenges and opportunities associated with delivering next best action at scale. We will also reference the importance of accessing artificial intelligence and machine learning, which is becoming the more prevalent power behind integrated next best action implementations. But what is the optimal way to build this? My guests today are Olivia Arand, IT Director at Mundi Pharma, and Alan Kelton, Senior Vice President of Global Sales at Actana. So we're going to be looking at this from an internal pharma and external perspective, as both of my guests today have strong experience in multiple pharma companies and have a broader perspective. So welcome both to the show.
Thank you, Andre.
Let's dig in. So the data conundrum. To create an effective next best action, you need to collect and integrate detailed data about your customers, your messages, and your channels for engagement. So there's obviously a lot of data involved with this, which creates some important initial decisions. Do you invest in the data first, or do you create ways to stimulate behavioral change and improve your understanding of the impact? So let's start with you, Olivier. What are your thoughts on the question?
I think it's a bit of a chicken and egg. I think that both are required, actually. And I think it's about looking at how you can do that on a smaller scale initially, maybe considering pilots, whether they are pilots in terms of ramping up your capabilities and not trying to boil the ocean and covering all capabilities at the same time, or whether they are pilots in terms of doing one market at a time initially, to see what works and what doesn't work. The data element is super important. I think most companies can probably start with achieving quite a lot with data that they would have readily available from their various customer engagements. But what we have found is that you can really achieve the value of what technology can bring if you inject some data from external data sources, whether they are data you purchase, data you get from that are publicly available. So data is super important. Doing that at step by step, iteratively, capability wise, and maybe market wise at the beginning, before you can think about scaling up to a larger number of markets, and also a very strong element around the culture and the mindsets. Those kind of initiatives are probably a unique opportunity and sometimes a first opportunity to bring the marketers and the sales teams together, where prior to that, okay, they may not always have always worked sufficiently in an integrated manner.
Yeah. Ellen, do you have anything you'd like to chime in there?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more in that it is there is a chicken and egg element to this. And I think one of the things that we see within the current technical architecture supporting commercial execution is there are many systems that capture data, and many of those systems don't necessarily feed directly back to the user. And so there is definitely a virtuous data cycle associated with adding a point of value that actually helps individual users that are engaging with these technical platforms, whether they're event management systems, CRM systems, whether they're managing digital engagement through various forms or marketing engagement, to be able to close that loop. And actually, that can not only provide value from the data that's already there, but it also can accelerate the quality of information that's actually captured. So there is definitely a virtuous data cycle that's part of this.
Yeah.
But as I think, as Olivia was saying, this, you know, there's a whole pattern here from putting in the right infrastructure, acquiring the right information, performing the right analytics, and then activating those analytics to drive the behavioral change. And in reality, the frame of reference has to be that impact. Mm-hmm. It has to be that activation layer. And yeah. So you are in a conundrum about, you know, how much do I invest upstream versus how much do I invest in stimulating that behavioral change? Yeah. And I think Olivier's answer is perfect in that you want to experiment, you want to explore, you want to get that socialization as quickly as possible, because not only does that drive the end result, but it can also provide a frame for how much you invest in different data sources and how important that can be.
Exactly. I think it is it is a very good point, Alan. I think if you look at it on a large scale up front, for executive leaders, the scale of the investments required versus what the perceived risk to achieve the expected outcomes is a bit scary. Mm-hmm. And I think taking those baby steps and having a lower financial risk and investments initially, demonstrating the value for me is a very good tactic to reassure the organization, and if done right, help you securing the funding required to take it to the next level.
And how do you prioritize? So, you know, the data versus, you know, the simulating behavior, how do you achieve that balance?
I think I'd chime in and build a little bit on what Olivier was just saying, is that, you know, this is, as a technology capability for the pharmaceutical industry, moved very substantially from an investment in a strategic bright light 4 or 5 years ago to now an investment that needs to be considered at scale. And so as you're building a program, focusing on an ability to get time to value, getting that experience and building the business case as a live approach, it is becoming more and more important. I think traditionally, some of the investments were, you know, in early stages were very much focused on, okay, well, let's build a big customer data platform. Let's build a big data warehouse. Those programs take sometimes years to come through without necessarily having that return. And I think Olivia is perfectly articulating, you need, this is a new capability. You need to build confidence. You need to build the stories and the experience and the anecdotes that actually help senior leadership become comfortable in this type of scale investment as a capability on a global scale. And I think that's a really important frame to, a really important lens to have on a program like this.
Yeah.
And I think when you touch on data quality as well, Andre, such initiatives in our experience are actually putting the finger on some data quality issues that you might not have been aware in previously. You might have had, as Alan mentioned, different projects or different capabilities that would have been implemented over time around events, around marketing automation, around portals that were not necessarily architected, designed, especially at a data level, with the need for integration that mm-hmm. is so fundamental to using data, using analytics, using AI, and quite often, sometimes your ambition in terms of the pace can be impacted because you're gonna identify those data quality issues, yeah. and you're gonna have sometimes to go back to your source systems, your solutions, make some changes, adjustments, and when you need to start touching some fundamental master data in whatever system, it's never an easy task. So I think it's been an amazing opportunity to sometimes rework and improve things that we could have done better earlier on if we had the longer term vision, or if we had more continuity in stakeholders or in teams or whatever. It's been maybe one of the factors that have at times maybe slowed us down a bit in the pace wanted to deliver those capabilities is having to go back and address some data issues that were quite significant.
Yeah, that quality and reliability of data is a really big factor. And I think it is hindering or slowing down companies when they go back and look at their data. How can pharma determine their readiness of their data and overcome that challenge of the, you know, lesser quality and reliability?
Maybe I'll jump in.
I would say defining readiness is difficult. Even if you can define readiness, achieving 100% readiness is extremely difficult. I think it is. It's important to start with what you've got. It's important to be able to identify the pitfalls. It's mm-hmm. important to have all of the right small prints and caveats, okay, and know where it might be. Not perfect. It might be taken with a pinch of salt. It might be more directional than very precise. But let's keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's identify the challenges. Identify where there are gaps, where there are issues. Put action plans to improve over time. That should not hold you back. Okay, unless you are in such situation. Okay, where the outcomes of the capabilities you're delivering would end up driving the wrong decisions let's keep pushing and let's keep improving over time.
Sure, absolutely,
and I think that passion and that focus and that recognition that this is a journey is an essential part of the MBA story. We're asked all the time, as from an Actana perspective, by our clients, are we ready? And we have to help our clients define what that readiness means. And what it really is about being ready for the journey and ready for that behavioral change. And in reality, the patchwork quilt of data that exists within the life sciences companies, there's always going to be something valuable that's ready to stimulate a behavioral change. It's about really understanding that's the journey we're on and how do we build that confidence and build that, build those experiences over time. And I think that's a really important part, because I don't think we've ever come back and said, we're not ready from a data perspective. It's more about you're ready to do this.
Yeah.
And quite interestingly, one of the most extreme examples is with a company that was focusing on a brand new market launch, brand new account-based strategy, and didn't know or hadn't gathered consents for digital engagement, hadn't gathered a lot of customer profiling information. Well, by infusing use cases that actually focus on improving the quality of data and capturing the right information that was going to help to support the development of the right strategy at account level, you build trust and confidence in the way the system supports the agenda for the key account leaders on the ground. So, you know, it's about tuning it so that it fits that behavioral change agenda, and building that first step into the journey and getting committed to seeing it as that journey towards a different way of working.
Are there other challenges that you're seeing in the industry once you implement these systems?
So I think one of the challenges that is clearly in the industry today is the evolution from experimentation to thinking about this as needing to be scale, of course, overshadowed by the tremendous growth of focus on achieving more of an omni-channel approach and a coordinated broader sales, marketing, and even medical alignment around the strategy with individual customers. And I think that has created a level of intensity, but potentially also confusion, because there are a lot of different things at play when you're talking about levels of transformation in the commercial model that need to be supported by new capabilities. And trying to change all of that once in a situation where, you know, the market is going through a significant upheaval, and, you know, it's continuing to evolve even kind of in markets that are very much post-COVID. We're seeing that. And I think it provides a very, very interesting context to be able to position the value of this journey is actually more about creating the agility to continue to transform.
Yeah.
I think on my side, look, I think the challenges that you have, challenges that I believe you would see in any industry, and challenges that I saw myself, okay, when I was working on similar initiatives in the beer industry, for example, from a change management, from a cultural perspective, that there is. It's how do you sell that, okay, to a rep as being not seen as just something that would allow us pharma companies, okay, to go after their business, okay, with fewer reps, but how it can help the reps, okay, themselves, okay. So it is how do you communicate and manage your change, okay, as focusing on the benefits to everyone, including the reps, rather than getting everybody being concerned about the impact it has on their job. And then you have the challenges that are more specific, okay, to the industry. Clearly, everything around legal, around, you have a very strong element around around data privacy, around that is common. But the compliance elements I have seen is something that can make things more difficult. At a minimum, okay, will require significant internal alignment on how far we can push the envelope. Mm-hmm. Where when I was in the beer industry, I think, yeah, beyond the legal challenge, okay, you do not have, okay, the same compliance aspects, okay, rightly or wrongly, but being heavily regulated, it's allegedly easier to ensure full compliance of individuals following a given process. But how do you make sure that an algorithm and an AI engine is going to do something that is okay from a compliance perspective? Okay, is something okay to make sure is discussed earlier in rather than later in such an initiative?
Yeah,
I couldn't agree more, Olivia. And I think having the relevant compliance engagement at the very project design
from the beginning.
Yep. Is absolutely critical. And yep. I mean, look, if it's done well, as you say, the technology can actually reinforce and strengthen the way in which the organization behaves. And whether that's in terms of within a specific channel limitations on engagement or whether that is the coordination of the right flows of information across different parts of the organization, let's say from commercial to medical and back, that can be designed to actually reinforce and provide additional strength to the organization's compliance. But it has to be an essential part of the process. And I think we're seeing more and more not just needing to pull that in for success, but actually seeing people involved in compliance really wanting to be part of this type of program.
Yeah. Well, we're going to delve into this in the next episode in more depth. So we're going to be looking at how to design an NBA system for global scale. So don't forget to tune into that episode. Thank you both so much for joining me, and I look forward to speaking to you both in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode of AI for Pharma Growth. If you have received huge value from this show, or maybe this episode has highlighted how you can use AI in your company, then we would love for you to support the show by leaving us a 5-star rating. Please make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button on your podcast app now to make sure you never miss an episode.